together. Invest in remarkable Indonesia.
I'm Pim Fox, and this is what I'm taking stock of on this Monday, October the 20th, 2014. Investors grapple with Apple. The tech giant reports results, and the stock gains more than 3% in trading today. Also, Apple says it sold over 39 million iPhones in the quarter. It's the first time the new phone was available. And Apple Pay debuted today with some 220,000 shops and restaurants accepting the electronic money transfer network. Now, with more than 500 banks agreeing to support the service, J.P. Morgan's chief executive of consumer banking said he's a fan of Apple's new payment system.
Yeah, Apple Pay's a big deal. I think our philosophy is fairly simple. You know, we're here to help our customers.
And some of the most important people in finance gathered today in New York at the Robinhood Investors Conference. Jim Chanos, founder of the short seller Kinnikos Associates, expressed doubts about the Brazilian oil company Petrobras.
The economics are just so poor at Petrobras that we really have called it a scheme, not a stock.
Meanwhile, Starwood Capital's Barry Sternlicht declared it's an interesting time for real estate.
If rates stay lower longer, the yield in real estate is quite valuable. And if rates rise because of economic growth, which people thought the U.S. is growing and rates will rise again, then rents go up. And so we're living in a pretty good spot for the property markets right now.
And it is Monday, and my producers will once again try to stump me with today's mystery guest. Welcome to Taking Stock. All right, can't stand your cable company, tired of paying for television programming you really don't care about, but maybe you still want to watch Game of Thrones. Well, Time Warner's HBO says it's got a plan for you. The maker of Game of Thrones, as well as Boardwalk Empire, they are going to offer a standalone direct-to-consumer TV service. Well, will this make money? Will it succeed? Joining me for some answers, one of the most successful television executives of all time, Bob Wright, former chief executive and chairman of NBC Universal, currently also the founder, co-founder of the group Autism Speaks. Bob Wright, let's talk about television, HBO, and Game of Thrones. Do you think this a la carte menu of program is going to work?
Well, it'll work at some level. This sort of reminds me of what happens in real estate all the time. You own properties, and all of a sudden somebody says, you know, your property's not spiffy enough. It's not synced. We have to remodel it. Well, do you keep the tenants in, or do you remodel it around them? What if you put the tenants out and they don't like it when it comes in? So what television people, producers and networks have to decide, if you want to go and be on the internet side of this, you're crossing over the sharp part of the knife. You're on one protected side where you're getting a lot of fees coming in, a lot of payments from Netflix, from producers, from networks. And if you want to go to the other side, you have to cross over this knife edge. And that knife edge could cut you off. And you have to try to have, you're trying to tell all the people that are currently paying you, don't worry, it's actually not such a bad thing. And it's going to be very interesting. I'm happy to see people are doing it. It's, you know, this is the latest invention of internet intermediation, disintermediation. If you're going to the other side of it, as CBS announced, and HBO's actually been there with a bit with HBO Go, which is kind of in the middle. So producers do it now. I saw that Time Warner just gave all of Warner Brothers gave all of the episodes of Friends, sold everything to Netflix. So everybody's crossing over, hoping that they're not going to lose what they have in the process, and then inevitably there will be loss. But will there be gain to offset it? My guess is the gain will come, but it's going to take. You'll be careful. It's like what we talked about in music. You know, you're taking dollars and exchanging it for dimes. When you went from CDs to the internet, it was dollars to dimes. Until the dimes get big, there's a lot of stuff in the middle. But it's exciting to watch.
Apple.
Yep.
Right. We'll watch that today. Apple and the technology of something like Siri.
Yep.
We talked just before you came on the program about reading a story about how Siri and autism can be connected in ways that are beneficial to people that have autism. Tell me about how technology plays that role.
Well, that's a perfect example of that story with the boy who's now connected to Siri and asks all relatively appropriate questions and gets wonderful answers, whether they be what planes are flying overhead or what's happening, what kind of a car is this?
This is the automated Apple voice system,
yes.
The computer.
And it's become a, it's his best personal friend right now, who treats him with respect, and he seems to be treating Siri with respect in return.
But that's a one-on-one connection,
yes,
right? And that's the same kind of one-on-one connection that companies like CBS and HBO want to have, because they want to be in the palm of your hand.
Well, as you pointed out earlier, you can actually program now your own voice in and have Siri hear your own voice in a dictated fashion or a message and so forth. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for people that have communications difficulties, but that their cognitive ability is strong, but they have communications difficulties. This is a whole new world for that. That's really an opening.
A new world also when it comes to trying to find what autism is all about. Tell me about Missing, but it doesn't have any eyes.
Missing is the name of our 10,000 genome project, where we're involved heavily with Google and many sequencing companies. And it's 10,000 whole genomes. We have done 1,000 already, and we have another 2,000 that are on the shelf, ready to go. And Missing was BBDNO came up with this plan and this idea, and it has no vowels in it. So when you look at it, it looks like Missing, but it says something's wrong with it. You're missing the two eyes in it, and that's the whole point. What we're missing in autism is deep understanding of the genes as they relate to autism, and we have not been able to get that done with traditional exome sequencing, and we feel we can get it done this way, and it'll open up a whole world. In the first quarter of this year, maybe the second, we will have a platform. Well, Google will have a platform in its cloud platform. We'll have a scientific place where you can go and tap into exactly what we know at that point in time about all the sequences that have already taken place.
This is like what they talk about when you want to know what audiences are watching, what movies, what television programs, the ability to connect you to the products and services that most appeal to that audience.
And they are building, as we speak, the tools that are necessary for a scientist to come into that portal and use it, because the computational issues are so substantial, we couldn't bring a tool in that would, in other words, we couldn't bring a computer in that would really form there. So this is going to be enormous, and it's not 20 years from now. It's 2015, and we're going to start, and Google is going to start with their portal, scientific portal, in 2015.
Money?
Well, we have, it's a $50 million project, more or less. We have raised a good deal of money for the sequencing, which is the first piece, which is very expensive but getting cheaper. And we are getting a lot of help from Google on the cloud strategy and how to do it and implement it. I don't think there's anybody else that really could do that, because Amazon probably could do it, and maybe Microsoft, but I doubt if they have the free capacity to do that, and I doubt if they have the interest in doing that. But this is... We are so fortunate to have this association.
All right. Now, we've got an additional interest in you in our Get to Know segment, because we want to know a little bit more about Bob Wright. I want to know, what's your favorite book of all time?
Bobby Had a Nickel.
Bobby Had a Nickel.
That's the first book I learned to read on. So that goes back a lot of years. We're in the 19... Early 50s.
Well, it's still, but it's a book, and it's your name in it.
Bobby Had a Nickel.
Why do you like that? Why is that your favorite?
Well, I just remember it so well. And the other one was A Little Train That Could. But Bobby Had a Nickel. His father gave him a nickel, and every page, Bobby thinks about what he could spend. He could buy ice cream soda. He could buy this, that, another thing. He'd go with his friends. And at the end of the book, after going through all these things, he gives it to his mother to help a friend. So it's a wonderful story, and it's very well, it's beautifully done. Pictures. Drawing is beautiful.
Late at night, Bob Wright's doing the channel, surfing a little bit. Who's your favorite late night television host?
Well, I think you've got some pretty good ones out there right now. My favorite of all time was Johnny Carson, because I grew up with Johnny, even from when he was doing daytime television, all the way through NBC, all the way through his departing. He's unique, because he was on television for 50 years doing that.
We've got more with Bob Wright coming up on Taking Stock. We'll tell you about Eggs Benedict meeting real estate economics. You're going to also meet the chef who helped construct a new world of food, but then he was bested by the construction of a new building. And it's Mystery Guest Monday. Time for clue number one. My mystery guest is a Hall of Famer from Hollis.
So I was a head chef at 24. I won Best New Restaurant in the Country at 31. I've published cookbooks. I've been on TV. I've relied on people every step of the way. I still do. I have to. So staying connected to those people, that's what makes me feel accomplished. They're people I connect with, that I'd sit at a table with. These are the people that I ride with every day.
Every small business needs it. LendVantage can help you get from $5,000 to $250,000.
I knew if I could make more dough, I'd make more dough. So I called LendVantage.
LendVantage connects small business to big capital. Go online, complete a simple application, and you could get pre-approved for up to $250,000 in minutes. And you get the money in as fast as one business day after approval.
LendVantage helped get me the dough I needed.
Go to LendVantage.com or call 1-800-999-LEND.
Listen up for an amazing offer that can change the way you hear.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you repeat that?
Frustrated with your hearing?
What did he say?
Well, hear better now. Introducing the fully rechargeable MSA30X, a revolutionary device that features the latest microsound amplification technology that can barely be seen. Independently tested to help you hear up to 30 times better. It turns ordinary hearing into extraordinary hearing. MSA30X works by capturing and amplifying sound waves, yet its lightweight ergoacoustic design is discreet. It form fits in and around either ear.
I forget I'm even wearing it.
An MSA30X is powerful. Hear clearly in restaurants. Never miss another word on TV or at the movies.
My wife complains that I have the volume up on the TV too loud.
And I didn't want to be in the same room with them.
Now I can hear everything clearly.
Simply adjust the volume as you desire. Other units use so many batteries and they're difficult to change. But the MSA30X is completely rechargeable. Simply plug it into the wall.
I tried other devices that had batteries, but they were always such a pain to change and so costly. But this is rechargeable, so I figure I save hundreds a year.
Bulky sound amplifiers can cost hundreds, but try MSA30X for just $59.95 and we'll include a cleaning brush and five comfort tips. But wait. In this special TV offer, we'll cut the price in half. Now you can hear up to 30 times better for just $29.95. But there's even more. We'll double the offer free. Just pay additional processing and handling. Wear them both or give one to a loved one. Did you hear that? That's two MSA30Xs for just $29.95. The MSA30X Hear Better Now offer. Get two for just $29.95.
All I can say is just try it. It could change your life.
To order, you can call 1-800-804-5317. That's 1-800-804-5317. Or you can go to msa30x.com. Call or click now.
All right, while the best chefs in the world can handle the heat in any kitchen, rents that boil over, that's another story. Take Chef Wiley Dufresne. From a sous chef at Jean-Georges Restaurant to award-winning owner of WD-50 and Alder's Restaurants in New York, Chef Dufresne helped to build a new culinary landscape while also helping to actually rebuild a lackluster neighborhood. But he's been outbuilt and outbid. WD-50 will close on November the 30th. Chef Wiley Dufresne joins me now to explain all this, and we've got a little food partner in NBC Universal Chairman Bob Wright. He knows Wiley Dufresne from his celebrity chef at Gala fundraisers. Great to have you with me. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
In, Wiley.
Thank you.
So I kind of built this up as, you know, you created a culinary landscape, but at the end of the day, WD-50 is being displaced because of the rent in markets.
A little bit.
Times have changed.
Times have changed.
Tell people what you created if they have never experienced WD-50 or Wiley Dufresne's kind of cooking.
Well, I hope, I mean, again, we were hoping just to be a good restaurant in the neighborhood. We're just hoping to make good food, maybe something a little different that people hadn't tried, have a little bit of fun, but make delicious food, offer great service.
Can you be any more understated than the great? I mean, come on. This is the kind of, I remember reading descriptions of your Eggs Benedict Describe what it would look like on a plate for Bob Wright if he came
wouldn't,
in.
It wouldn't look like the Eggs Benedict maybe of this of your weekend or of your youth. But it was playing off the idea of Eggs Benedict and ultimately hoping to tap on the same emotional response one would have when they eat Eggs Benedict, but just sort of turn it upside down a little bit.
Turn it upside down and mold it into shapes.
And hope to shape it. And,
yeah.
You know, we took the four essential elements, poached egg, hollandaise sauce, Canadian bacon, and English muffins, and mixed it around. So it was deep-fried hollandaise.
It's on a stick.
Well, you could do it on a stick, actually.
Deep-fried hollandaise.
Yes.
Yes. Is there a name that you like to describe the kind of cooking, the kind of culinary experience you're offering people?
Modern American food, contemporary American food. I mean, I think that's what we like to call it. I mean, whatever you want to call it.
I was just
going to
say, it sounds a little bit like, almost like it could be deconstructed. Bob, what do you think?
I think it's a great idea. He has a real reputation.
Yes.
He's been, you know, at every one of our chef's galas, he's been a chef there, and he's going to be there on November 3rd again. So this man is a star in the world of cooking and eating.
There you go. You see, Bob Wright says that you're a star, and he's a television expert.
He's being very kind.
There's got to be a landlord out there that would love to have him because he will attract a lot of attention. He will attract people that will come into that neighborhood to eat there, and that's... Oh. There's got to be somebody smart enough to say, I've got to have a rate in here that he can afford so that I can get the benefit of what he's doing.
All right, so he's got an agent here right now.
Yes.
But explain to people what kind of neighborhood WD-50 was in and why this is a bigger story.
We were on the Lower East Side. We still are on the Lower East Side for another month and a half. And not far from our new restaurant, Alder, which is in the East Village. But we've been down there for a little over 11 years, 11 and a half years. And... the neighborhood is changing, and the business has changed hands a couple of times, and one landlord bought it, one company bought it, and another company has bought it again, and they're going to knock it down and put up, you know, a bigger building.
11 years ago, here we can try to do a number. 11 years ago, what was like a per square foot cost of opening up something on the Lower East Side?
You know, it was pretty low, the per square foot. You know,
yeah.
You might get, you know, probably a couple dollars a square foot.
Okay, so maybe $2-3 a square foot. Now, if someone brand new wants to come in?
Well, I'm not sure because I'm on my way out.
Right.
I certainly wasn't given that kind of a opportunity by the old landlords. So, you know, times change. It's a tough market these days, I think, for chefs to figure out what to do and finding a reasonable balance between, you know, a reasonably priced restaurant and managing your rent.
What's the plan for the next incarnation, if any? Because you're leaving at the end of November. Where would you like to, if you could anywhere, where would you like to be creative?
Well, we're leaving the end of November, and again, we've still got Alder, and we're going to be focusing our efforts on Alder to continue to make Alder a great restaurant. And then we'd like to find some place where we could do some other stuff. WD-50 needs a new home, but we have other ideas, other great ideas that we'd love to explore, and we're open to neighborhoods, we're open to locations, you know. The Lower East Side has been great to me, and I owe a huge debt of gratitude to the Lower East Side, and I would be happy to stay there, but I'd also be happy to explore other possible
neighborhoods. Been so well reviewed, and it's such a positive image, and he's been there 11 years. It's not like it's an overnight success, and all of a sudden, he knows how to do this. So there's got to be a landlord out there that can see the benefit of having somebody at this level of success who's basically looking for a home and wants to deal with neighborhood people.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, very much. Chef Wylie Dufresne of WD-50 and Alder, much appreciated.
Thank
Bob Wright, former chief executive of NBC Universal.
I'm going to Italy.
And you're going to Italy.
You're going to
see the Pope.
Suzanne and I are going to Italy. The Vatican is having a 3-day conference on autism at the Vatican. They've invited researchers and people from all over the world, and they're going to have the Pope is going to have a general reception for families and people with autism. Can you imagine? That's really
good. And you're the co-founder of Autism Speaks.
Right.
It's amazing.
Get an autograph. All right. Well done. All right. I'll get you a pen. All right. Coming up on Taking Stock, my mystery guest. I'll give you time for clue number two. My mystery guest was once known for raising hell.
partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. Feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success. Together, invest in remarkable Indonesia.
Are you getting the retirement planning advice you truly need?
We thought about how much we'll need.
It's a little scary.
Getting the financial advice you truly need is important, especially while planning for retirement. At Edelman Financial, we believe everyone deserves great financial advice, even if you're not rich.
You've seen Rick on TV, heard him on the radio, and read his best-selling books. Now, put Edelman Financial to work for you. Go online to learn more or call us now.
The first thing we'll do is talk. Actually, you'll do the talking. We'll listen. Next, we make a plan for you, and then you can relax, knowing we're always here for you. Call now for your free portfolio review.
I want smart advice in plain English.
I want a plan to help me get where I want to go.
That's why I'm going to Edelman Financial.
Edelman Financial, because everyone deserves great financial advice.
Call 1-800-279-7197.
All right, it's time now for my mystery guest. I have no idea who it is, but I've got 90 seconds to guess. My producers have provided us all with a few clues. Here they are. My mystery guest is a Hall of Famer from Hollis. My mystery guest was once known for Raising Hell. And the third and final clue, my mystery guest once landed a $1.6 million Adidas endorsement deal. All right, let's bring out our mystery guest. Let's see if that, there we go. All right, oh my goodness. Oh, well, see, I know now who you are because you have your comic book, but okay, oh, ahead. You see that? Nice to see you.
How you doing?
All right, now I got to do the guessing anyway because, yes. You know, Hollis, when it said Hollis, I immediately thought Hollis, Queens. Yes. So then I go down the list and I think, all right, Hollis, Queens, and I think of Raising Hell, and I think of music, yes. and a record, yes. Kind of Raising Hell.
Right.
And then it says $1.6 million endorsement for Adidas, and I think of a song, right. Which I confess I really didn't listen to all that much. But, you know, that's just an age
thing. You heard about it.
I did.
Yes.
$1.6 million, it got my attention.
Yes.
I thought, Run DMC.
I know you did.
And I thought, right, Daryl?
Yes.
Like Daniels.
DMC in the place.
Exactly.
And the place
and
is right here.
You, and then I read a story recently about you,
yes.
And the whole world of comic books,
right.
And superheroes.
Yes.
Tell me what you're doing. It's great to have you
Well,
here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really glad to be here. It's an honor,
great.
And a pleasure. Before hip-hop came over the bridge from the Bronx to change my life, I was this Catholic school kid, straight-A student, 5-6 stars on the forehead, always on the teacher's honor roll. But I loved comic books. You know, I was the geeky kid. I was the nerdy kid that was always reading comic books. And
that was you?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I wore the glasses, the whole thing.
Wow.
You know, one of those kids, there's something wrong with that kid,
yeah.
Over there. He's reading comic books.
Yeah.
He's quiet. Kept to myself. But the reason I was such a good student was because I was reading comic books. Even back in the 70s, when the educators would go, don't let the kids read the comic books. The reason why I excelled as a student is because I was reading. They don't know how to put two and two together. Like, in school, in history, I would learn about World War II, but Captain America would take me to World War II. I would learn about science and astrology and computers and robotics and all of that, but, you know, Tony Stark and Iron Man would take me there. So I'm this little kid growing up, Hollis, Queens, New York, straight-A student, Catholic school my whole life. My world, my total existence was enhanced, inspired, motivated, and educated by the world of comic books.
But how did you, I don't understand, you're going through the whole comic book thing, and
right.
Then all of a sudden you end up with this music career, Run DMC,
right.
Which is a phenomenal hit. What do? You carry the books around on tour?
Well, no. It was comic books to the point also where I would take the tracing paper and try to draw my favorite superheroes. And every artist that draws for Marvel and DC or that drew your favorite superhero said that's the way everybody started. At 5 years old, I would take the tracing paper, try to draw my favorite superheroes.
But now you got your own superheroes.
Right. But by the time I was 6 years old, I didn't need the paper no more. So that's all I spent my time doing now. Like I said, here's this little kid growing up drawing comic books, reading comic books. This thing called hip-hop comes over the bridge from the Bronx. Changes my life. Now, as a kid, I put my blanket on my neck with the safety pin, and I'm running through the house pretending to be Batman and Superman, your favorite superheroes. My mother and father, boy, you better stop jumping around. I'm gonna break your head if you don't stop jumping. But when hip-hop came over the bridge from the Bronx, before show business, before we were making records, all the little kids not only wanted to be Batman and Superman, they wanted to be Grandmaster Flash and Afrika Bambaataa.
But now so they in this new comic book. I gotta thank you.
Yes.
I'm gonna check out your comic.
You have to check it.
Daryl McDaniels. He's not a mystery guest. He's my guest, Daniel
Suero.
Look at that. Daryl McDaniels and DMC Comics. Thanks for taking stock. Good night.
Perceptions change and evolve. In a recent Bloomberg Audience Insights report, more and more IT decision makers evaluated Android as a secure platform for large-scale business operations. In the survey, 72% of IT decision makers said they had deployed an Android device as part of a bring-your-own-device initiative. Among them, more than 9 in 10 had deployed an Android device from Samsung. One reason they trust Samsung Android devices is the Knox security platform. 79% believe Knox is extremely or very useful for application security, with 78% mirroring that sentiment for malware protection. Samsung is in the unique position to offer security that is deeply rooted in hardware and constantly moves forward to help business realize the full potential of mobility.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
Goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time?
Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 I love logistics.
This is the storm.
There's a storm coming.
That whipped through the turbine, which poured surplus energy into the plant, which generously lowered its price, and tipped off the house, which used all that energy to stay warm through the storm.
There's a bad storm coming.
The Internet of Everything is changing how energy works. Is your network ready?
You trade stocks and options online. We'd like to have a word with you. TradeKing. We're different from the five biggest online brokers. TradeKing lets you trade wisely. Just $4.95 per trade. That's up to $5 less per trade than E-Trade and TD Ameritrade, which means more money stays in your pocket. TradeKing lets you trade smoothly. With world-class customer service that's been ranked number one by Smart Money, TradeKing lets you trade easily with an award-winning website that's easy to use. TradeKing lets you trade intelligently with the tools you'll need to make informed decisions. TradeKing lets you trade quickly with mobile apps. Fast trade executions at national best bidder offer guaranteed. Start trading now. Switch to TradeKing and join over 500,000 other clients who have already made the move. Right now, get $1,000 in free trade commissions. Use promo code FREE1000. Ready for a new breed of broker? There's a name for people like you. TradeKing. Switch today.
Welcome to Money Clip, where we tie together the best stories, interviews, and video in business news. I'm Olivia Stearns. Here's the rundown. First, we've actually got some good news about Ebola, though it is still going to be a long road to market for drugs that actually work. Then, Today's investor is focused on fixed income and why the market may be more fragile than you think. In tech, could AOL and Yahoo join forces? AOL's chief says a tie-up is not on his agenda. Then in fashion, Jimmy Choo hits its stride. Shares are rising after the luxury shoemaker made its debut amid volatile trading in London. And the fashion business for dummies sure isn't run by one. Inside one of the country's biggest mannequin exchanges, that is in today's wild card. But first, let's take a look at the top story. Shares of IBM plunged more than 8% this morning. That's after the company reported weaker than expected sales. It's also paying $1.5 billion to get rid of an unprofitable chip unit. IBM is abandoning its 2015 forecast as it struggles to shift into cloud computing.
It's a new frontier, and there are so many little competitors nibbling at their edges, and this is what's happening to IBM and SAP. And you may have heard a week or two ago, I think they're going to go into, you know, attacking the cloud together.
Warren Buffett is IBM's biggest shareholder. As much as $1 billion of his investment has been wiped out. Mark Andreessen is resigning from the board of eBay as the company prepares to spin off its PayPal unit. The move follows a campaign by Carl Icahn to split the company. Icahn had accused Andreessen of conflicts of interest. Andreessen, for his part, had accused Icahn of being an evil Captain Kirk.
A public dispute with Carl Icahn is just a distraction for shareholders. It doesn't serve anybody any good. So this was a good thing for shareholders, a good thing for Mark. It's time for him to move on.
Andreessen says he has complete confidence in the ability of eBay CEO John Donahue to lead the company's split. And Mario Draghi's plan to boost Europe's economy is kicking into gear. According to people familiar with the matter, the European Central Bank has started buying French and Spanish bonds. Draghi has said he intends to expand the ECB's balance sheet by more than $1 trillion. And the National Hockey League has indefinitely suspended Los Angeles Kings defenseman Slava Voynov. That's after he was arrested today on charges of domestic violence. The suspension with pay comes after the National Football League faced criticism for its handling of recent domestic abuse cases. And those are today's top stories. Now, let's take a closer look at what everyone is talking about today. Big Blue trading deep in the red. IBM shares tumbled as much as 8.4% at one point this morning. Sure, there was the news that IBM would pay, yes, pay Global Foundries $1.5 billion to take its unprofitable chip unit off its hands. But it was the earnings report that really carried the brunt of the bad news.
Ginni Romney in the results says we saw a market slowdown in September in client buying behavior. Our results also point to the unprecedented pace of change in our industry. And Brendan, to your point, she reiterates the whole shift to cloud computing.
Brendan. A, quote, market slowdown in client behavior as IBM shifts to the cloud. You might recall that IBM got out of the PC business to focus on business services, which now accounts for about two-thirds of IBM's revenue. And these chips were less than 2% of their business. But if there is a slowdown in client spending, where is IBM going to get an edge?
It's a new frontier, and there are so many little competitors nibbling at their edges, and this is what's happening to IBM and SAP. And you may have heard a week or two ago, I think they're going to go into, you know, attacking the cloud together.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing they do have is a client base, and if they could come up with a product, presumably they would be able to keep their clients if they could come up with that.
20 seconds.
IBM is not the only software services company that's hurting. Germany's SAP cut its full-year earnings forecast as software customers move to applications delivered through the internet. Here's the company's CFO on Bloomberg earlier today.
What we are seeing on the traditional license side is that we have two emerging markets who are posing problems at the moment. We have Russia, for obvious reasons, which typically is a growth driver in our classical on-premise business, which is in decline due to the sanctions and the political topics that we have around it. And in Latin America, we have political issues around the elections in Brazil, who have also brought growth rates down.
Ultimately, it all comes down to the cloud. Here's Alex Barinka, who covers IBM for Bloomberg News. She was on Market Makers this morning. We've seen this big industry-wide shift to cloud computing, where customers are no longer buying their own data centers. They're having things hosted online. Well, the majority of IBM's software portfolio, which makes a good amount of their sales every year, is not based on the cloud yet. So they are kind of trying to push those old legacy products into the cloud, and it seems like they're having some stops and starts in terms of closing big deals and dealing with this new revenue model that's not all this paid up front and more a pay-as-you-go revenue stream.
Strategy-wise, IBM talks a lot about the cloud, but I was shocked to read an industry analysis. It was a poll that said that not only is are they behind Amazon in terms of sort of being trusted to do things in the cloud, they're behind Rackspace.
Right, and that's where some of their issues have been. Cloud is front and center in terms of what they talk about with investors, but their run rate as of third quarter, $3.1 billion for the year. They bring in $100 billion in revenue a year, so that's 3% of their total revenue. So a lot of the jargon, the things you're hearing from, you know, Rometty and others at IBM, it's about cloud, it's about data, but the actuality of it is, you know, maybe not that much is coming from those new initiatives.
And therein lies the challenge for CEO Ginni Rometty. Shares are down 20% in the 2 years since she started at IBM in the CEO role. Well, still ahead on Money Clip, we're going to take a look at some of the big other stories of the day, starting with Ebola. The wait drags on for effective drugs to fight the deadly virus. We'll have an update. And volatile markets require unique thinking. We've got some unique ideas from the Robinhood Investors Conference. That's coming up on Money Clip. And heavy smog did not stop runners from taking part in the Beijing Marathon. Some of the runners even wore masks as they battled the black haze. This is what officially hazardous looks like in Beijing.
Success doesn't keep normal office hours. So to help you keep that fresh pressed look, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Joseph A. Bank is offering our wrinkle-free cotton traveler dress shirts, two for only $99. Dozens of styles and colors, slim and traditional fits, 48 exact sleeve and neck sizes, including big and tall. Rated best overall wrinkle-free dress shirt, a fantastic value at two for $99. We're making it work at Joseph A. Bank.
Hi, I'm Rick Harrison,
and this is my pawn shop.
And after 25 years in business, there's one thing I've learned. You never know what's going to walk through that door. Like this old-fashioned safety razor. For almost 100 years, the single blade was the best way to shave. Soldiers, presidents, even my pop used one. So why in the heck did the big razor companies start adding more and more blades? So they could charge you more and more money. Trust me, you only need one blade. That's why I use the new MicroTouch One. It's the modern version of this timeless classic. Even professional barbers today still only use one blade to give their clients a perfect shave. Same as my MicroTouch One. One blade gives me one perfectly smooth and comfortable shave every time. And unlike those multi-blade razors that are tough to clean so gunk can build up and make them less effective, the MicroTouch One opens up with a simple twist so you can easily rinse your blade and preserve the closeness of every shave, which means your blades will last longer. And it feels like a precision-crafted machine right in the palm of your hand. With the new MicroTouch One, I save money, and you know I like that. Plus, I get a perfectly smooth shave on my face and my beautiful bald head. Trust me, you are going to love this razor. So why keep shelling out big bucks for multi-blade razors that don't really last, when now you can save money and get the best shave of your life with the MicroTouch One for only $19.99. It comes complete with 12 blades and the deluxe travel case. But as part of this limited TV introduction, you'll get 12 more blades free. That's 24 blades, enough for a full year of smooth shaving. Yes, you get it all. And your satisfaction is guaranteed. So call or go online now.
To order the MicroTouch One, have your credit card ready and call 1-800-334-6153. That's 1-800-334-6153. So don't delay. Call 1-800-334-6153 or order online at OneRazor.com. That's OneRazor.com. Call or click today.
Edward Jones, this is Shirley speaking. How may I help you?
Hey, Neil, how are you? How was the trip?
With nearly 7 million investors.
He's right here. Hold on one second.
You'd expect us to have a highly skilled call center.
Kevin, Neil Hawley's on line one.
Okay, great.
And we do. It's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television, streaming live everywhere, online, on your phone, on your tablet, even Apple TV, and now Amazon Fire TV. I'm Olivia Stearns. We are finally getting some good news in the fight against the deadly Ebola virus. Dozens of people in Dallas, Texas, have been told they are no longer at risk of contracting Ebola. The 21-day monitoring period has ended for 48 people who had contact with Thomas Duncan, the Liberian man who died of the disease earlier this month, the so-called patient zero. These people include healthcare workers and relatives. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has declared that Nigeria is Ebola-free. That means there have been no new cases reported over the last 42 days, which is double the normal incubation period for Ebola. It will still be some time, though, before the U.S. can declare itself Ebola-free. The head of the government agency that fights infectious disease says you can blame lax protocol for the disease's spread. He told ABC's This Week that changes are coming soon.
The previous protocols were really based on a WHO model, in which people were taking care of people in a different environment, essentially in the bush, as they say, in remote places, almost sometimes outdoors. Those people did not have to do the tertiary care, intensive type of training that we do. So there were parts about that protocol that left vulnerability, parts of the skin that were open. Very clearly, when you go into a hospital, have to intubate somebody, have all of the body fluids, you've got to be completely covered. So that's going to be one of the things. The protocol will be finalized soon, but one of the things is going to be complete covering with no skin showing whatsoever.
Now, the other part of the equation, of course, is drugs. The problem is, though, that medications that have shown to be effective at fighting the disease have been exhausted. Public health officials are leaning on drug makers to get something out fast. Here's the head of Inovio on In the Loop this morning. The company is one of five working on a vaccine.
Inovio's working on a vaccine that would go into human testing in the next few months. And if that's successful, then we could see a fast-tracking, hopefully, of this to the market in the next several months to a year.
Several months to a year. Okay, this still sounds like a long time for those of us who are in the grips of panic here over Ebola. Tell us what's different, though, about your vaccine than the others that are being tested.
Yes, Inovio Pharmaceuticals is actually a phase three oncology product company, but we felt that our technology had to be applied to help to curb this outbreak. Inovio is using fully synthetic DNA plasmids as a basis for our vaccines and therapies. So instead of using conventional virally driven vaccines, mm-hmm. we just used the genetic codes that encodes for a Ebola antigen. So this way it can be safely developed more safely and more rapidly, and that's what we're doing.
I was going to say, does it mean that you can manufacture more quickly, and is it cheaper for you to produce?
Well, the manufacturing is also our advantage, as well as the scalability. We can scale to a larger manufacturing scale much quicker. In animal testing, which was already published about a year and a half ago, we were able to protect 100% of the animals, both guinea pigs and mice, from active lethal exposure to Ebola virus. So we feel very good about the potential of our vaccine.
The demand for an Ebola drug, a vaccine, anything that works is reflected in the stock price. Inovio shares are up nearly 25% over the last seven trading days alone. The Ebola story has unnerved markets and rattled investors. Good thing the Robinhood Investors Conference is happening today. We'll take you there for some exclusive investing ideas and hear why some of the biggest names on the street are still bullish. Plus, we'll hear from AOL's chairman and CEO Tim Armstrong what he has to say about Yahoo. That's coming up later in tech. And McDonald's prices are up about 3% from last year, and that has been sending budget diners to other chains like IHOP and Denny's. It's one of the most popular stories on our website. Read it and others at Bloomberg.com/popular. Platform agnostic. I'm Olivia Stern. The return of volatility to the markets last week sent global bond yields to record lows, negative rates even, in some parts of Europe. But there is more to the fixed income market than meets the eye. Our very own Stephanie Ruhle is at the Robinhood Investors Conference, where attendees pay thousands of dollars per ticket to hear some of the latest strategy and advice. She spoke to Bill Eigen, fixed income portfolio manager at J.P. Morgan Asset Management.
Bill, you just left the stage, and what does everyone want to hear from you? Market outlook. How fragile are these markets?
Yeah, I would say on the fixed income side, things are getting increasingly fragile because rates are getting closer and closer to zero. When rates get to zero, they're automatically as fragile as they can get because you're pretty much guaranteed to lose money in fixed income.
Could Treasury yields get any lower, or do you feel like we've hit a bottom?
Well, you never say never, right? And in markets like this where, you know, the fixed income market in particular feels somewhat broken and it's been overly influenced by central bank actions, you just have to sit back and take it for a while. However, if you were to look at the economy, if you were to look at everything from economic to inflation fundamentals, you would argue that yields should be significantly higher than they are here.
But isn't the recipe that the market is begging for is more central bank intervention? No one's saying, great, we're back to fundamentals. They're saying, ACB, get in here, do whatever it takes.
The thing I think is underestimated in these markets, and this is very good for equities, by the way, is what is wrong with the Fed acknowledging that the economy is doing okay? I don't understand what the big problem is here. Instead, it seems like every meeting there might be 20 things that are going right, maybe one or two that they don't like so much, and they focus on the one or two, and they end up keeping rates at zero. I'm not sure what the transmission mechanism is between zero rates and a robust economy. I think it's been in place for 6 years. It's been long enough. If they were to acknowledge that the economy was doing well and move toward raising rates, believe it or not, I think that would instill consumer and business confidence and probably cause an increase in capital spending.
Really? Because it seems like for the last few years, equities and bonds are moving in tandem.
Yep.
And those who are long the market have liked it.
Yes. And that's not, as you know, that's not supposed to happen. Like, typically what's very, very good for equities is a growing economy, which we have on the checklist. Lack of deflation or disinflation, which we don't have. We have inflation running at 1.5 to 2%. I would argue it's higher than that. These are things that are good for equities. They're not supposed to be good for fixed income, but fixed income has been overly influenced by central bank intervention.
Okay, then let's say we all stop crying. Everybody finds their way here. Is this good for the economy that we're getting back to fundamentals?
I certainly believe so, and I believe rates can be significantly higher. Some of the best economic growth we've ever had was with rates 300-400 basis points than where they are right now. I don't understand why people think zero rate is the only way this economy can expand. If you raise rates, savers are going to start making money. You'll instill more business confidence. I'm telling you, you look at what's happening, and confidence is a problem in this economy right now. That's why everyone's on such shaky ground all the time. And unfortunately, when you keep rates at zero and you keep, you know, assigning reasons as to why that needs to stay that way, it's not exactly inspiring to people who are looking to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on capital spending projects.
Well, savers have gotten hurt over the last few years because they've been pushed into yieldy products like credit, corporate bonds, high yield, distressed.
Exactly.
Have they caused a bubble? Is that asset class going to burst?
Well, if you were to look at just the levels of risk premium available in everything from investment grade corporates to mortgages to even to a lesser extent high yield and emerging market debt, they're definitely on the expensive side. Now, that started to change a little bit last week, which is a good sign. We like to see a little bit of volatility in those markets. But as a whole, you're exactly right. A lot of investors who otherwise wouldn't be there have now gone in there. The problem becomes one of correlation, right? Look at July. Look at September. Interest rates went up about that much in both months, and you lost money in every form of fixed income out there. Everything from high yield to emerging market debt to government bonds. Same with the taper tantrum last year. That's the problem. It's correlation. Fixed income diversification and the whole idea of it has been turned on its head by this unprecedented central bank intervention that we're seeing.
Do you think one of the reasons the credit markets really fell out of bed last week had to do with liquidity? Now that we live in a Volcker Rule Dodd-Frank universe, the street can't act as a stabilizing agent and buy any paper.
That's a really good observation. It's absolutely true. Dealer inventories for things like high yield, leverage loans, et cetera, are at all-time lows. In fact, the top five biggest ETFs on the corporate bond side have more assets than there are inventories at all sell-side firms right now. That's kind of frightening, because when you get involved in what we call the PIPO trade, the panic in, panic out trade, which a lot of people engage in, people just can't take the other side, and that causes bid-offer spreads to widen. It causes liquidity to dry up, and you see big moves in areas of the market like high yield. Like, look at high yield, for instance. High yield essentially has almost a flat return this year, which means you've lost your coupon of 5 to 6% in a growing economy. That's not supposed to happen. Why has it happened?
But maybe that's okay. At the end of the day, the reason to have this regulation is because we don't want systemic risks in the banks.
Agreed.
And so what if institutional investors are losing money? Banks shouldn't be in that position. So at the end of the day, couldn't regulators say, tough nuts, this is what it should look like?
No, and I think that's the direction we're going. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think having very low inventories is such a bad thing, and I understand why. It's a regulatory response. However, the problem is when people decide to exit these areas of the market that are all very correlated, as we just talked about, when interest rates rise, it's going to create a problem on the liquidity side, and it's going to exacerbate any price movement downward.
Since there is a liquidity problem, is that incentivizing you to take money out of the market and sit in cash? Because even the best investor can't navigate a liquidity crisis.
Yeah, well, you know, I run an absolute return fund. So with an absolute return strategy, when you can't find intelligent things to do with capital, you gradually move to cash. I'm holding a very large cash position now because, to me, it's very valuable. Liquidity becomes incredibly valuable when no one has it. Right, and when no one has it, that's when prices start to dive. That's when bid offers start to widen, and I can come in and gradually pick my prices over time and get the portfolio set up for a much better forward return than I would otherwise. An environment like this is not conducive to that. You don't want to be buying everything in sight right now.
Before we go, then, when do you see yourself stepping in to start buying? Is it something you're looking, saying today, tomorrow, this week, or like a month from now?
Well, you know what? We finally got enough volatility last week where trades have been waiting on for a long time. Finally, started to come into the zone where it makes sense to start bringing them
so
into the portfolio. Yes, yes.
Wow.
I can't get into what trades, but we finally, the universe finally expanded enough to where we were able to do some things. My personal view is I think we're going to see more and more vol episodes as time goes on, particularly in fixed income. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing for equities. That's the thing. People seem to think that there's, you know, again, that as soon as interest rates rise, that means equities need to crash. Well, last I checked, last year the yield on the 10-year Treasury doubled from 1.5% to 3%, and equities were up 30%. So I hope that argument kind of got pushed aside a little bit, that rising rates means equities.
Last I checked, there's a reason Robinhood asked you to speak today, because you know what you're talking about. Bill, thank you so much. I'm going
to
send it back to you, Olivia. Bill Egan of J.P. Morgan Asset Management giving us an in-depth market outlook.
Thanks so much, Steph. That is Stephanie Ruhl at the Robinhood Investors Conference. And Stephanie will have much more from the meeting, including hedge fund manager Jim Chanos, J.Crew Chairman and CEO Mickey Drexler, and also Starwood Capital's Barry Sternlicht. That's all day right here on Bloomberg TV and on Bloomberg.com/TV. And coming up on Money Clip, what AOL CEO Tim Armstrong has to say about a possible merger with Yahoo. And later, she built a $3 billion global brand in just 10 years. We'll bring you Charlie Rose's conversation with Tory Burch.
With all due respect, that guy could never get elected president.
He's got a chance to win.
He makes Joe Biden look like a guy in control of his mouth, or me.
You know what? This could be a show.
This could be a show like us sitting around in a diner talking about politics. So you're talking about a show that's kind of like what we did in our books.
Exactly. The high human drama of politics. Plus, politics is fun, because you know what? Politics is fun.
But the show should be about more than politics. About politics and sports and entertainment and culture. The whole thing.
Exactly. It's like a taco bar and a sushi bar all in one.
That sounds pretty good.
Now I'm loving this as much as a bucket full of Twizzlers. It's not partisan, it's not dumbed down, yes, and it's not just political inside baseball.
Yeah, and it's not about just what happened that day, but why it happened, why it matters, and what's going to happen next.
That is a show that I would watch.
A show that's a combination of Good Times and Game of Thrones.
Somewhere in the Caribbean, there are five-star luxury resorts where every day is unscripted, where the warmth of the islands can fill your soul, where martinis are stirred, dance floors are shaken, and your taste buds can travel the world. Sandals, the world's only luxury-included resorts, where love is all you need because everything else is included. Save up to 65%. Call 1-800-SANDALS.
Perceptions change and evolve. In a recent Bloomberg Audience Insights report, more and more IT decision makers evaluated Android as a secure platform for large-scale business operations. In the survey, 72% of IT decision makers said they had deployed an Android device as part of a bring-your-own-device initiative. Among them, more than 9 in 10 had deployed an Android device from Samsung. One reason they trust Samsung Android devices is the Knox security platform. 79% believe Knox is extremely or very useful for application security, with 78% mirroring that sentiment for malware protection. Samsung is in the unique position to offer security that is deeply rooted in hardware and constantly moves forward to help business realize the full potential of mobility.
TH
25 from the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, powering the Israeli economy. Find more information at www.ta25.co.il.
I am so glad that Jen set us up.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Jen and I went to summer camp together.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Oh, whoa.
I know,
watch
right?
out. What's Maccabi, yeah?
Oh, man. I am tired.
You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Color Wars?
You know what that is?
Yeah, we call it Maccabi, too.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink?
Yes. Do you want to meet my parents?
So I was a head chef at 24. I won Best New Restaurant in the Country at 31. I've published cookbooks. I've been on TV. I've relied on people every step of the way. I still do. I have to. So staying connected to those people, that's what makes me feel accomplished. They're people I connect with, that I'd sit at a table with, people that